So if you remember, we've been learning some of the halachos of basar b'cholav, and one of the interesting elements that comes up in basar b'cholav is that the chachamim instituted precautionary measures, separations between meat and milk, so that we shouldn't come to violate the real iser of basar b'cholav. And the most famous of these is what we'll be discussing today, which is the question of waiting between eating meat and milk, etc. Jonah, I didn't say anything yet, but if you have a question, I'll take it.
I mean, just from a general thing,
why are we so makbid on Basar B'Cholav? How come maybe we have separations in Basar B'Cholav? And in fact, if you turn to the Shulchan Aruch, which is on the top of the second side of the page, let's just learn the din first, and then I'll amplify your question and try to answer it. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, Achol Basar Afilo Shulchayev Ha'Ov, Lo yochal gavina acharav. If I eat meat, even if I eat meat of chaya, is a wild animal, and oif is poultry. And if you remember, we said that basar chaya and oif is only aser midrabanan with milk, but it's not an iser d'oraisa. So still, lo yochal gavina acharav. So I shouldn't eat cheese after. Ad sheyisha sheisha, also until I wait for 6 hours. No. So I shouldn't eat cheese after the meat until I wait 6 hours. So the question that some ask is that isn't this a gezera le gezera, no?
Yeah.
Because basar of itself is an iser d'rabanan, it's a gezera atu regular basar, and shehi is a gezera, right? So it would seem that this is a gezera le gezera. So it's a good kasha, it's a good kasha. The answer, I think, though, is along the lines of something that we've been trying to flesh out, which is the fact that the Torah describes basar b'cholav as lo tivasho gedi b'chalev imo. Remember, the Torah doesn't say don't eat meat and milk together. The Torah says don't cook the gedi b'chalev imo. Right? So that means that the Torah itself is teaching me that there is a gezerah here. Right, that's what we spoke out from the Kesef Mishnah, that bishul basar b'cholav is a siyag atu achila, no? So the Torah itself is giving me a siyag here. The Torah says, you know what, I want you to stay very far away from basar and cholav, therefore don't even cook them together. Once the Torah is giving me permission to, once the Torah is telling me to make an additional separation, that means the Torah is teaching me that I'm allowed to make extra siyags. Okay? If you can just keep the volume down, thanks. Okay? So the Torah is saying, and the Torah is saying, well, tovash or gedi, that means the Torah is making a siyag. It might be a siyag da'iraisa. It's a siyag that the Torah is making, but that teaches me that I'm allowed to make gezeras legzeras. This is what I thought the pshat was in other yisurim of other times that the Torah says a siyag itself, so that gives us permission to make gezeras legzeras. For example, by yichud, no? Yichud, the Torah says, "Lotikrivu legalos erva." Really, what the Torah means is, "Don't have beer with harayis." But the Torah also has a siyag: "Don't come close to harayis." What's coming close to harayis? Chibuk and nishuk, etc. So yichud seems to be like a gezera, like gezera, like gezera. No, but that's okay. That's okay because since the Torah itself is teaching me to make a siyag, right? It could be that the only time I don't make a gezera l'gezera is when the Torah doesn't give me permission to do so. But when the Torah has a siyag d'oraisa, I'm allowed to make gezera l'gezeras in those areas of halacha. I think that might be the pshat, but hey, let's go on in Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll try to find the sources. So it says, if I eat meat, I shouldn't have cheese after. Ad sheyisha sheishos, until I wait 6 hours. V'afilom shoha kishir, im yesh basar ben hashinayim sarcha hasiro. And even if I wait that amount of time, if there is meat between my teeth, I have to remove it. V'halois latinok sarach lahamtin. If I chew for a baby, you also have to wait. You see, today I make food for my baby. How do I make food for my baby? I have meat and I put it in a food processor and I grind it and then my baby has meat mush, you know? But there was a time before meat grinders were invented. So how did you make meat mush for your baby? You chew it, no? You chew it. That's called lois latinok. So the Mechaber writes in Shulchan Aruch that Lois Atinok also has to wait. We'll try to explain what he's getting at in a few minutes. And then the Rama writes, V'im motza achar kach basar ben hashinayim meisiro. If I find, afterwards, I find meat between the teeth and I remove it, tzarech la'adiach piv kodesh yochal gvina, then I have to rinse out my mouth before I eat cheese. V'yesh omer that you don't have to wait 6 hours, but silek ubirech helps. Right? All you have to do is finish the meal. The Rama says that the minhag is to wait 1 hour. But that's not the best minhag. The really best minhag for chen nachon lasos is to wait 6 hours. Fine. So
what we are going to see over here are the dinim of waiting between meat and milk.
Now, Shulchan Aruch mentions even lo esatino has to wait, but when we get into this, let's look at the Makar Hadav, right, the Gemara here in Chulin.
The Gemara says as follows, Zaf the Gemara,
Boy minei, Rav Asim Rav Yochanan, Kame Yishra ben Basar Ligvina, how long do you have to wait? I'm going to wait for like, you don't have to wait. This is the biggest kula ever, no? You're going to ask, how long do you wait between meat and milk? Answer? Nothing. Eini, is that so? I'm Rav Chista, Acha Basar Asar Acha Gvina, Gvina Mutar Acha Basar. That's correct, the Gemara, but what do you mean, if I eat meat, I can't eat cheese. If I eat cheese, I'm allowed to eat meat. Ella, Kame Yishra ben Gvina Labasar, I'm going to wait for like, in other words, between Gevino and Basar, between if I have first cheese and then meat, the Gemara says, well, my plum, this we'll talk about later, I don't need any waiting. But between Basar and Gevino, so then there is some sort of waiting that's required, but we have to explain how much it is. Gufa. Amar Chista, Acha Basar, Salacha Gevino, Gevino, Mosar, Acha Basar. Amar Acha, Bar Yosef, Lerav Chista, Basar Ben HaShinayim, Mahu? He asked, what's the status of the meat between the teeth? So he said, we don't know exactly why this is in the Gemara, right? But this is like stage two in the Gemara. First we say, you have to wait between meat and cheese, but we don't know how much. Then the Gemara asks, what about the meat between the teeth? We have a pasuk, habasar denu ben shineihem. Then the Gemara says, Amar Ukva, Anonah Hamilsa. He's saying that I'm not as religious as my father was, no? I think many people have said this in life. No, I'm not as religious as my father was. I am like, Chala Bar Chamra. How do you translate Chala Bar Chamra?
Bread, the son
of beer. No, not bread would be with a hay. With an aleph, it means vinegar, the son of wine. Chala Bar Chamra is vinegar, the son of wine. Right? Now, vinegar is related to wine, no? You make your wine wrong, you end up with vinegar. So I am chala bar chamra legabe abba. The evil abba kevel achol bisra ha'idna lava achol gvina abba machar hashka. Daddy, when he would eat meat today, daddy would not eat milk, he would not eat cheese until how long?
24 hours.
The evil anna v'ha sudasa hud la achilna v'sudasa achmita achilna. But me, I don't eat meat in the same meal. I do eat meat in the next meal. So it's called Sudasa Achrita. That's what the Gemara says. That it's permitted to eat meat, and then in the next meal have milk. Azoi Shtein Gemara, this is all the Gemara says. Now, what's the reason for waiting? So Rashi seems to have a different reason than the Rambam. Look at Rashi. Rashi writes, "Acha basa aser lachol gavina mishum de basa motzi shuman v'hu nidbak bepeh u'mayrich batamo." Who wants to explain to me what Rashi said? Aryeh, I'm going to call on you.
Because meat leaves a taste in the mouth.
Okay. Is that all Rashi's saying? Basar is motzi shuman.
Basar is full fat.
Okay. It exudes fat. It gives fat off. V'hu nidbak bepeh. What's nidbak bepeh?
Sticks in the mouth.
Gets stuck in the mouth. Umayrich betamo.
So it's a long taste.
And has a long taste, no? In other words, the taste of meat, again, not to be too coarse about it, but if any of you have ever eaten a salami sandwich, sometimes you can feel it 3 hours or 4 hours later, no? Right? You've had that experience in life? Right? I think there's a technical term for it. It's called salami. Right? But that's... So Rashi's saying that the basar is marich betam, and he's also saying it's nidbak bepet, stuck in the mouth. Look at the Rambam. The Rambam, I mean, halacha chof ches. What's the reason the Rambam gives? What? Meat between the teeth, right? The basar bein hashinayim. Good? Now, the Rambam, I think, fits better in the context of the Gemara, because the Gemara has a line about the meat between the teeth, right? Right after the fact that there's hamtana, the fact that I have to link between meat and milk. That sounds tickle like the Rambam. That's because of the basar bein hashinayim. Now, generally speaking, it's assumed, or let's just take the Rambam slowly for a second. So the Rambam says I have to wait because there's meat between the teeth. So I wait 6 hours, and then what happens after 6 hours? And Rambam says kimo sheshos, right? We'll talk about that a little bit later. But what happens after 6 hours according to the Rambam?
The food's no longer there.
So is that the pshat that it comes out? The meat comes out?
Or so it has no taste
anymore. It has no taste anymore. Well, the Rambam never says anything about taste.
Oh, because the food actually just like degrades in your mouth slowly.
So we know, those of us who are taking college bio, that the beginning of digestion happens in the mouth with the salivary amylase that comes and begins to digest the proteins. No? How many people taking college bio here? You learned about this, or making it up?
Yeah,
you learned it in high school, right? In elementary school. Right? So, l'cha'ora, what the Rambam seems to be saying is that after 6 hours, right, so the basar doesn't have a din basar. Right? It's obvious that meat can degrade to some point. That's not halakhically significant anymore. If I take a piece of meat and then I burn it and it becomes ashes, do I become fleshic if I eat that? The pashtus is no. Right? The pashtus is that at some point meat loses its din meat. Zuck the Rambam, that point in time is 6 hours, but beforehand the Rambam is nervous about the basar bein hashinayim. Rashi, though, never says that after this amount of time it loses its meat status, no? L'cha'ira, Rashi would hold that what? That it's marif time, it has taste for a long time, and after a while that taste is gone, but there might still be pieces of meat there. And for Rashi, if there are pieces of meat there, the Achronim point out, you have to remove the pieces of meat. You see, the Rambam holds the concern is basar bein hashinayim. So after 6 hours, ein leidin basar, and therefore ein sarich lahasir. If I don't have to remove that little bit of meat that's between my teeth, according to the Rambam. But l'cha'ora, according to Rashi, I would have to remove it. Yeah?
Rashi doesn't care about the pieces of meat that are in the teeth.
So the pashtus is Rashi's worry that every meat has taste. Rashi might not be nervous that meat gets lodged between my teeth. If it happens, it still is meat. Remember, I can't eat meat and milk together.
But
so if there is meat,
that once it doesn't have the taste of meat, we're not going to consider it meat either.
Again, it's certainly possible, but but Rashi doesn't mention anything of that. You see, for the Rambam, I'm muchrach to say that. For Rashi, I have no hochacha to say that meat loses its din meat after a certain amount of time. It loses its taste. Rashi is not talking about that there is be'en. Right? When Rashi says that there is nidbak bepeh, Rashi means that there's a little bit of shuman. This is what Reb Five Okon writes in the Badei HaShulchan. There's a little bit of shuman. There's a little bit of like residue, like a tiny lining that's there. And that tiny lining is not halachically meat, but it's considered tam basar. And the tam goes away after a certain amount of time. But if I have meat be'en, so l'cha'ira for Rashi, I have to remove it after that amount of time.
But he didn't mention anything about meat be'en.
Rashi, right, but...
So then why...
Agreed.
Why would you assume that's a problem?
Because why on earth would it not be a problem?
Because it doesn't have the taste of meat anymore.
But even it doesn't have... I'm eating meat with milk. Right, I'm eating cheese, and I have meat with it. So l'chore, that's some issud rabbanon of achilas basar b'cholof, no? L'chore. But it's very hard to assume that according to Rashi, there is... Right? Most achreinim assume that according to Rashi, it's nidbak v'tek v'pel marav tam, so therefore la'achar vav sha'os, right, you would still have to remove it. You'd have to clean your teeth. But for the Rambam, after 6 hours, I don't have to clean my teeth. That's clear in the Rambam because it loses its din of meat. The Aruch HaShulchan wants to say like this.
Zaknar HaShulchan, that according to the Rambam, within 6 hours, I have an Eitzah. Okay? By the way, eating meat, the fact that meat remains between the teeth is relevant in another area of Halacha. Now, in Hilchos Nida, we're very makbid on chatzitzas, no? So a woman is not supposed to eat meat the day she goes to the mikvah. That's what Fereshin Yerideh at the end of Kuftzani Ches. A woman doesn't eat meat. Why not? Because we're worried that the meat will remain in the teeth. And the Gemara in Kedushin has a story of Amsa the Bei Rebbe, that she went to the mikvah and she found some meat lodge between her teeth. V'hitzricha Rebbe tvila acheres, so we felt that was considered a chatzitza. So fine. Let's go on. Rambam says that's because of the Basar Bein Hashinayim. Comes along the Aruch HaShulchan, and the Aruch HaShulchan writes, okay, if it's because of Basar Bein Hashinayim, Zuck the Aruch HaShulchan, you can solve the problem just by using dental floss. Okay, big kula. Aruch HaShulchan says, kula for the Rambam. I eat meat, and then I want to eat dairy right after. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, all I have to do is use dental floss, get my meat between my teeth out. Not a problem, no? But according to Rashi, the Cha'ir, there still is a problem, because it still is considered some tam basar that remains. The Cha'ora. Yeah.
So then brush your teeth.
Brushing your teeth should be the same, assuming that when you brush, you get between the... But
no,
if you brush away...
No,
it's still not the same.
No, because the tam is nidbak, there still is going to be a little bit of taste apparently on the top of my mouth. Maybe using some sort of mouthwash, perhaps, and gargling with it. One could argue.
Use your toothbrush to scrub the sides of your mouth, too.
What? You'd have to scrub the sides of your mouth also, which is very uncomfortable. You ever tried to do that? Like take a toothbrush on the inside of your cheeks? You've tried that too, right?
Be worth it to have ice cream.
What?
Be worth it for the ice cream.
For the ice cream. Maybe.
Yeah, I think the taste is good.
So we got to figure out. Now, there is another nafkamina between Rashi and the Rambam in terms of, do I have to wait after chicken soup? No? According to Rambam, they have to wait after chicken soup?
No.
Clear broth. No. According to Rashi, the flavor, yes. Loes latino, do you have to wait according to Rashi? So the place can say no. Loes latino, but I'm just chewing the meat. So for the Rambam, I have to wait. For Rashi, I don't have to wait. Why? Because there's no time that ends up embedded in my mouth. Tavshil shol basar. Tavshil shol basar, it could be there's going to be a tam of meat. Right? Tavshil shol basar is like a potato that's cooked in the cholent. For Rashi, I'd have to wait. For the Rambam, maybe not. Because the stuff, the only thing, the Taz writes like this. I don't know if the Taz is correct. The Prichadosh disagrees. But the Taz has the following chiddush. Ready? Taz says, there's a gzeiras hakosov of har basar yiden ben shinehem. That meat between the teeth has a din of meat. Zak the Taz, that's a din only meat between the teeth is meat. But gavina shebein hashinayim doesn't have the din of gavina. The Pri Chodesh disagrees. The Pri Chodesh says, when the Pasuk says basar al din ben shinehem, what the Pasuk means to teach me is that meat between the teeth, right? That meat between the teeth is meat, and cheese between the teeth is cheese, and everything between the teeth is everything. But the Taz says it's exeris hakosov of only basar. Therefore, the Taz says that you know this chumrah, right? And it's a chumrah, by the way. Me'ikar hadin, it's not required. It's not masay a chumrah. The chumrah of not eating meat for 6 hours after hard cheese. Zuck the Taz, that chumrah is true only according to Rashi, not according to the Rambam. Because according to Rashi, there's concern of the taste being in the mouth. Apparently hard cheese has a very strong taste, and the taste will remain in the mouth for 6 hours. Most cheese products, I eat a plain yogurt, the taste doesn't remain in my mouth for that long. Hard cheese, right, it's marech betam. But according to the Rambam, the Taz says, there's no need to wait after hard cheese, because hard cheese is gevina bein hashinayim, and gevina bein hashinayim is not a halachic problem, only Basar bein hashinayim. Yeah.
The thing that says vav shows, not
yid shows. That's vav shows. Yeah. That's vav shows.
And also, what about like chicken is only asr. I'm sorry. Chicken's asr because it has a it looks like meat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now that we like nowadays it doesn't look like meat at all.
We're still machmir. Chazal felt, right? They usually bring a pasuk. They bring a raya from the pasuk by Avram Avinu by the Bris Ben Absur. No, the pasuk says ve'eshat zipor lo basar. No, it only makes sense if you speak up. Hey, who realizes why what I just said is absolutely nuts? Ve'eshat zipor lo basar. What does lo basar mean? The bird is not meat, right? That's the way I just translated, but that's not correct. The word basar in that pasuk is written.
Didn't give a message.
What?
Didn't give a message.
No. This is by the Brisbane Habisarim. What's Bisarim?
Oh,
basar. So, Esatzipar, lo basar, and Avram Avinu was told to split the animals, but he didn't split the birds, no? He splits animals and he walks between them. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So it's a cute raya from a pasuk, but it's absolutely shtus. But you can get a lot of people with it because it's fun. Fine, Viker. Halacha l'maisa, we follow both the reasons of Rashi and the reason of the Rambam, and therefore Shulchan Aruch says that if I'm lois latino, I have to wait for the Rambam's reason. And Shulchan Aruch also says that I wait by a tavshil shel basar, which is according to Rashi's reason. We're machmir for both the reason of Rashi and for the reason of Rambam. That's why we do it. How come we're not makel for both? It's an issur d'rabbanan. So we should be makel for both. So the answer is probably what the Ran writes in Meseches Psachim. No, if I have a suffik d'rabbanan, for example, there's a shayla in the Gemara whether Haseba is required on the first two of the Dalek Hosos or whether Haseba is required on the last two of the Dalek Hosos, no?
Yeah.
So, why don't they say Safek Rabban Lahakel and don't do any Haseba? Zuck the Ran, two answers. One answer the Ran is I can't say Safek Rabban Lahakel to completely eradicate it in. If I'd say this in Machlokes Rashi and Rambam, is it because of, right, Basar Bein Hashinai, or is it because of the Moshech Tam? If I would say that we're not sure, Safek Rabban Lahaka, we pretty much completely eradicate the din. So that's not shy. That's really not shyach. Or we actually wouldn't completely eradicate the din, because if something has both, so then we'd have to be Choshesh, but you understand what I'm getting at. Yeah,
so
Adam.
Why don't we hold like the Rambam and
Flos? So many poskim say, Reb Feivel writes in the Bali HaShulchan, that even though the Aruch HaShulchan says that according to the Rambam, flossing is good, but many poskim say, Zok the Bali HaShulchan, that we're worried, Dilma lo yinakir heitev heitev. Maybe you won't clean out your mouth very well. Maybe you won't do a good job flossing. Have you ever went to the dentist and the dentist says, do you floss? And you say, sure I do. The dentist says, it don't look like to me you ever flossed in your life. No?
Sorry, Rabbi Shlita. Gentlemen, I apologize.
Okay. So, but according to the Salamaisa, the flossing, right? Zok the Bali HaShulchan, flossing might not help. Because who says you'll do a good job in the flossing? Maybe the flossing won't be done well, and therefore, he wants to say that even if I floss according to the Rambam, it's still going to be Aser. Okay. The Kitzer, let's go on in the Gemara, or in the Dinim.
Who says that?
That's what the Badei HaShulchan writes. The Badei HaShulchan is a contemporary posek in Brooklyn. He says you might not floss properly. So now, how long do you have to wait?
What if you go to your dentist and they like super clean it? I mean, theoretically, why doesn't it work?
So it could be that there's some sort of low plug also. Once Chazal were worried that most people won't floss properly, so then Chazal was saying that flossing doesn't work. We have to say something like this because or else we would just get rid of the entire Rambam based on flossing, right? And then if I have something that doesn't really have a taste, again, this is one of the problems, okay, with learning halacha with lumdus, because you always reach a certain point that, like, okay, so why does the din still apply, right? You always reach that point, and it's a good kashi. Yeah, you were saying something else?
You're saying it's still Rashi.
Huh? There's still a Rashi reason, but let's say I could get around Rashi's reason somehow. Let's have the type of food that's not Moshech Tam. It's a very, right, it's not a piece of salami. It's a piece of chicken. It's a piece of, right, food that doesn't really have a sharp taste at all. Doesn't stay in the mouth. How you know that? I don't know. You know it. Fine. How long do you wait?
How long do you wait between milk and meat? Or between meat and milk, I should say.
3 hours.
So who says 3 hours?
Three.
We have a lot of yekkes here. I guess it must be Washington Heights. Okay. So Reb Feivel writes in the Bali HaShulchan, he does not know of any source in Judaism for waiting 3 hours.
Is a chumra on the 1 hour?
You're machmir on one.
You're machmir on one. But one itself is a chumra. Let's go slowly. Look at Tysus. Look at Tysus. What does Tysus say? How long did I wait? The top source on Amud Beis. How long did I wait? The end of the
meal.
See, like, right? According to Tysus, all I need to do is finish the meal and bench and make a bracha achrayna, no? And then the meal is over, and then I can eat my cheese after. What about if it's a meal that I don't bench? Let's say it's a meal that I don't make a bracha achrayna. So, okay, make a bracha achrayna. Let's say you ate pachos mikashir and you don't make a bracha achrayna. So then what, are you stuck, according to Tysus? Right. Tysus says that the meal, the din of waiting is sila kabirah. So I have to make a bracha, enough bracha. I have to make a bracha achrona, benching or bracha achrona. Let's say I ate a tiny morsel of meat. The achronim say there's a chiv to wait if I eat a tiny morsel of meat. Therefore, the achronim say, this is found in the hafla'a, if I clean out my teeth and there's a teeny bit of meat between my teeth, what do I do?
Wait.
Take it out of your mouth. If you swallow that teeny bit of meat, you have to wait 6 hours. 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
6 hours if you swallow that teeny piece of meat. You could become paranoid over this. And there's a type of thing that you could, like, obsess over. No?
Yeah.
Don't. Sure. And, right, don't. Easy enough. Fine. So.
Just be flashing 24-7. I'll say
that. What?
Just be flashing 24-7.
You're a guy. For some reason, I this is one of the things I don't understand. Guys love being fleshy, girls hate it. Did you ever notice that?
Nobody really likes being fleshy unless you actually have access to that much meat. If I have, like, a full fridge of meat available, then I'll gladly be fleshy. If I don't, then I'm just like, no, I can't eat my candy.
I remember one time when I was in yeshiva in Israel, I was in Keren B'Yavne, Rabbi Daniel Feldman, you know, he's like a Rebbe here. Rabbi Feldman showed up right after Shacharis in the morning. He came in from Yerushalayim, and he had this massive Eish Tanur, like, shawarma thing. So, like, we're like, you're crazy. How can you be fleishik, like, at 8:30 in the morning, like, right after Shacharis? So he had an excellent point. He said, if it's so weird to be fleishik this early in the morning, how come the shawarma store was open? It was a very good raya. No?
Chop-top doesn't open until, like, I don't know, how late?
Mm-hmm. Well, Golan has a heter because it opens until 4 o'clock in the morning, so they could open 11 a.m. Okay? But, fine. So now, so Tosa says, Sila Kubiri. Many Achrayim say that Yadavka need a bracha, so therefore the Yad Yehuda is bothered. Let's say I have a meal, I eat a tiny morsel of meat. So then, does that mean I'm stuck to being fleshik ever because I don't make a bracha Achrayim according to Tysus? So the Yad Yehuda wants to say that maybe Silek Ubirith is only necessary if you have Das, right, to eat more. But the idea is, if Kol Zman, the bracha on my teeny morsel of meat won't help for, let's say I want to take a drink after, it won't help if I want to eat more meat after, because I only had in mind that tiny bit. So once that tiny bit that I had in mind evaporates, with the time of my kavanah elapses, so then that's considered the end of the meal. That's what the Yad Yehuda says within Tosfos. Yeah, Jonah.
On the Tosfos and Rashi,
Rambam and Rashi?
Yes, sorry, Rambam and Rashi. Don't we pass him that if you take a nap or something, then
we'll talk about the naps. I don't think we pass him that way, but remind me to talk about it in 3 minutes, okay? Fine. Right now we're talking about Tosfos. Tosfos says Silo Kubirich. So, we mentioned the Yad Yehuda's Ha'ara. What about if there is Pachos Mikashir? Then, there's another Ha'ara that's found in the Sefer Torah Chaim on Mesechus Chulin. The Torah Chaim asks the following Kasha, very strong Kasha. He says, how does Silek Ubirich help according to Rashi's reason and according to the Rambam's reason? L'cha'ora, Rashi says, right, it's marech tam. Right, if it's marech tam, everybody knows that when you finish lunch, even after benching, the salami, you still taste the salami, no?
Yep.
Everyone has experienced this in life. And the Rambam's reason, l'cha'ora, requires sheisha'is in order to begin the process of the meat losing its meat status, no? So, how on earth
does the Silek Ubirich Deya hold? Right? It doesn't seem to fit in with the Rashi's reason or the Rambam's reason. So the Yad Yehuda is a tremendous chiddush, gentlemen. Tremendous chiddush. Yad Yehuda wants to say that Tosis really disagrees with the reasons of Rashi and the reasons of the Rambam. Tosis is saying a different thing entirely. Says the Torah Skayim, the Torah Skayim, what Tosis holds is that Be'ikar Hadin, you're allowed to eat meat right after milk. You're allowed to eat milk right after meat, but you need some sort of heker to separate them. Just like there's a halacha that we'll talk about probably next time we learn Basul Chalom. If two people are eating together, right, and I'm eating meat and you're eating milk, I need a heker, I need something on the table to remind me not to take from your salami when I'm eating my cheese sandwich. So also, there's a din of heker that you can't eat them in the same meal. And benching is the heker. Now, the Torah's Chaim's Chiddush is tremendous because he's saying that Tosfos completely disagrees with the other reasons, point A. Point B, what the Torah's Chaim is adding, is that L'cha'ora, the din of Silek Ubirich is required not only from meat to milk, but even from milk to meat, no? Because if there's a requirement of heker, they have to have something to mark a separation between the meat and the milk. Something to remind me that these are two different items. Rav Hirsch writes in his Perush on Chumash that basar and cholav is like kelayim. Now that the Torah doesn't want me to mix species, no? Whether it's species of fruits or species of animals, the Torah doesn't want us to mix. So the prohibition of basar b'cholav, Rav Hirsch understands, is a prohibition that's akin to kilayim. And I need a heker to separate them. So what's the heker that I have? The heker that I have is the hamtana, but if it's a heker, so then also bein gavino b'basar would require some sort of heker, and the Gemara says you don't. That says you don't need anything. There is a minhag out there. My grandmother used to tell me.
Hard
cheese is a different thing, and it's a chumra, not an absolute requirement. Torah's Chaim is saying there's an absolute requirement of heker. Hard cheese is a chumra. Right? Chumra. Okay? But my grandmother used to tell me, my grandmother Allah Shalom used to tell me that I'm not, she used to tell me a lot of things. So she used to tell me I always had to wear a sweater, even if it's 90 degrees outside, because she was cold. That's one thing she told me. Then my grandmother also told me that I should wait an hour between eating cheese and eating meat. That does not appear in Shulchan Aruch anywhere. It might have some Kabbalistic source. We'll talk about that later. What? There are some Lubavitchers who do that, yeah. They have a practice of waiting. Where does it come from? I don't know where it comes from, but in Nigla, right? I mean, I know it comes from a Zohar, but in Nigla, it could come from this Torah's Chaim's Pshat and Tosfos. Good? But Tosfos says you don't have to wait an hour. The Ramah comes, the Ramah says, Sha'a. The Ramah says that the minhag in our countries is to wait an hour, right? Now, this practice is still maintained by our dear brethren, the Jews of... The Dutch Jews, right? Jews from the Netherlands wait an hour. I was always jealous of them.
Yeah.
It's like a great thing, no? There's only like three of them or something. How many Jews are there in the Netherlands? No idea. But you have to wait 1 hour. Where does 1 hour come from in the Rambam? Right? And the Dutch Jews still maintain this practice. Where does it come from? So the Taz assumes that it is a chumrah, right, on top of Silek Ubirich. The Taz assumes that may ikar hadin for the Rambam, Silek Ubirich helps. The meal is over, you bench, then you could eat your milchiks. But we have a chumrah above that, because we see from the Gemara that chumrahs and this din of hamtana is not a bad thing. I am vinegar compared to wine with respect to my father. Chumrahs are not a bad thing in this area. Therefore, we have a chumrah that we add in of an hour. That's what the Taz understands. Look at the Bir Hagra. Look at the Bir Hagra. Last source here. What's the Goyim saying? Rabbi Elijah Kramer Vilna died in the year
When did Yehuda die? 1797? No? When was he born? We don't know. 1720, probably. He's probably born in 1720.
He's like 7-something years old.
What? So then we know from what it says on his Matseva. Or it supposedly says on his Matseva. He lived for 77 years. Assumptions he thought he was born in 1720. We're not really sure. So the Gra says that the Makar of 1 hour is from the Book of Splendor. From the Zohar. No? Because the Zohar writes as follows. If I eat this food together, eat basar and challah together, o b'shaita chad in the same hour, o b'sudasa chad in the same meal. So the Zohar says shaita chad. 1 hour. Now it happens that according to the Zohar, you can't eat these foods in the same hour. That would imply. Right? If I can't eat them in the same hour, that would mean that also it doesn't matter meat to milk or milk to meat, which is the same as what we were saying from the Torah Sky and the same as that Lubavitcher practice that some people are aware of. Good. Now, is there any halachic nafkamina as to whether the Iker Hadin of the Ramah is to wait no time whatsoever? Is the Ramah assuming that the Iker Hadin Tosis is right in Sila Kubira, but we have a Chumra on top of Sila Kubira, that's where the Taz learns? Or that I assume like the Zohar, that the Rambam is saying that there's a Ikar Hadin of 1 hour. So there might be a few nafkaminas that we could construct. Okay, let's go. A few nafkaminas. Nafkamina number one is Dover Sheyesh L'Matir. And there's a concept in Yerideya that I assume that Suffolk Derabbanan is Lahakil, no? And I have a question, is something permitted or not? It's an Isser Derabbanan, Suffolk Derabbanan Lahakil. But if the Isser at hand is a Dover Sheyesh L'Matir, Dover Sheyesh L'Matir means that right now it's Usser, but it's going to be Mutter later on, no? That's a Dover Sheyesh L'Matir. It's Usser now, but it's going to be mutter later on. For example, according to some, the Isra of Chadash is a Dover Sheyesh L'Matirin, no? Chadash is going to be mutter, what, the 16th day of Nisan comes along? Right, so the Omer is Matir, Chadash is mutter, chik chak boom. So Dover Sheyesh L'Matirin, we paskin that we don't say Suffolk Rabban Mahakyo on the Dover Sheyesh L'Matirin. Now, Chronim, also in the Yad Yehuda, Yehuda, by the way, is an enagol of the Noda Yehuda, no? Okay, whatever. So the Yad Yehuda, great sefer in Yerideya. We have it in the base medrash over here. I don't think we have it in the old base medrash. I'm going to have it in the new base medrash. In part because I gave them a list of sperm that they needed to buy for the new base medrash. I insisted by Yad Yehuda, because when I was in Yerideya, it was very frustrating to always have to run to the library to get it. So, in the Yad Yehuda, he discusses the case that happens all the time. You're not sure if you're milchig, no? Did this ever happen to you? You know you ate fleishigs. I'm not sure. Has enough time elapsed that I become milchig? So usually, I would say, at first glance, Suffolk Derabbanan L'Hakil. You're not sure. Right? Eat! Right? Eat! Like Hakol B'Simcha. Right? That's what I would say. But then sometime, and no! You can't say Suffolk Derabbanan L'Hakil, so Dover Sheyesh L'Matirin. Because all you have to do is wait a little bit longer, for sure it's going to be mutter, and then you have to wait until you know for sure it's mutter, right? Wait until midnight, it's like Sukkot, you know, the first night of Sukkot when it's raining. Wait until midnight, maybe. So Zokli Yag Yehuda, he thinks that Dover Sheyesh L'Matirin doesn't really apply in this case, because Me'ikar Hadin, you already solved the problem. Well, how did I really solve the problem? I waited all that I had to wait, Me'ikar Hadin. Well, what is that? According to the Taz, that is Sila Kubira. As long as I benched after the first meal, so I saw Me'ikar Hadin, and then in that situation, right, I would say it's going to be Mutter. Because I for sure was Yotze the Ikar Hadin. Now there's only a Chumra on the table. So for a Chumra, I don't say Dabashir Shalmatirin.
if the Zohar is right, I can only say Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. I can only say there's a heter after I definitely had 1 hour that elapsed since I ate. Okay, so that case is not so relevant. Another case that's a little more relevant. Tell me if this ever came up for you. Akiva, you ever had this following Shaila? You're fleishig. And then you go and you take a yogurt out of the refrigerator. You make a shahakol on the yogurt and about to eat it. And then somebody says, ah, you're fleishig.
Eat the yogurt.
What do you do? Eat the yogurt! So to take orange juice won't help, because when I had when I made my bracha on the yogurt, I had das only on the yogurt.
When you say baruch, you know, say.
So baruch shem v'machusa is a way of making yourself feel better that you did a bracha l'vatola. We still did the iser bracha l'vatola. Iser bracha l'vatola, Jonah points out, is d'oraisa according to the Rambam. Tosfos and Rosh Hashanah daf lamed gimel says the iser bracha l'vatola is only aser. So Chacham Uvadi Yosei, Shuvas Yechav Adas, Chelek Dalet Simin Mem Aleph. Chacham Uvadi Yosei writes that since most poskim, he's a Sfaradi, so he stacks the deck this way. Most poskim assume Brachol Atolah is Dairaisa, so it's better not to buy Dairaisa Brachol Atolah and take a bit of the yogurt. Rabbi Fiver Cohen, in his essay in the Bani Ashrochan on this topic, he says, whoa. He thinks even Brachol Atolah is an Issa Drabbanon, but the fact is, right now, I'm not dealing with any real Isser Drabbanon of eating milk and meat together, because the time of the real Isser has already elapsed. How much is that? Seal it, Kubir, according to the Taz, 1 hour according to the Zohar. That time has elapsed. Once that time has elapsed, so then you can eat. But that would mean that if the Zohar is correct, if I make my bracha on my yogurt within an hour, so then I don't have the heter. Other poskim, okay, fine. Good? So that is the issue of bracha. That's the issue of bracha. The third nafkamina that we have on the board is chola or katan. We're mako for people who are sick. Now, sick doesn't mean you're in bed. Sick over here means like in Hokos Shabbos, someone who's a mekosh. Apparently, when people were ill in the olden days, or they would say that drinking milk is good for you. Now they found out for Ashkenazim, it's the milk itself that makes most of us sick. But,
yeah.
What can we do? But the fact is, they used to say that milk is good for you. And in fact, even if you have an ulcer or something, so milk is helpful in terms of making you feel better. So I'm not feeling well. I'm uncomfortable. Am I allowed to drink milk when I'm flashing? So, right, we're mako for a chola that once the ikar hadin time has elapsed, you're allowed to drink milk. What is that time? Taz, silek ubirich, gra, shaitachava, after a single hour. For kids also, this comes up. Now kids, my son, right after his chalent on Shabbos lunch, what does he want? He's 14 months old. A bottle, right? He always wants a bottle. Am I allowed to give my kid a bottle? Right after fleshiks? There's an iser of safinon le'miyadayim yivamus kuf yadalim. No, emor ba'amarta lahasher gedolam alaktanim. I'm not allowed to give treif to my kids. I'm allowed to give my son milchiks right after fleshiks. So the achronim say, well, once the ikar hadin is up, seal kubirech. Well, what's seal kubirech? He doesn't make a bracha. Well, probably the meal is over, so I shouldn't sit him at the meal and have meat then milk right away. But the meal is over, you can take it out of the high chair or something, you rinse him off. They say you should try to rinse off his mouth so that there's no meat in the mouth itself. Then you can give him the bottle, that's okay. Some assume that every katan, a katan until the age of 9, is always considered a chola. And if the kid wants some milk, you can give it to him. Others draw the line at 6. Again, if you're looking at Rabbi Fort's book, page 204, he has an essay about this. Yeah.
I mean, isn't human milk considered part of the only issue with that would be marasayin and then?
Well, I'm not. My son is not on breast milk anymore. He is on real milk. He's 14 months old. Usually, they stop with breast milk around 6 or 7 months.
Yeah. Well, also, like in general, if that were to happen with that case, would that be?
Yeah. So for Marisian, that's okay.
What
that's
not
powdered milk is real. Is milk. Is real milk. Yeah.
Well, there's like formulas.
Formulas are really milk. Again, if you need some of the formulas, actually basar b'cholov. Some of the kids who have seriously, it's a serious issue. Some kids who have like a certain enzyme disorder, so there's a special type of formula that doctors tell you to get. It's much, it's like an amazing thing. It's like,
you can't.
It's, again, you don't have a choice in that case. Like with the kid's not sick. But you can't make it hot. You can't make a hot bottle for the cake. You have to make cold bottles.
You can't just get a formula with a hashgacha?
That type of formula doesn't have hashgacha. That one type of formula, there's no hashgacha. I forgot the brand. Okay. So far we have the shear of right away. We have the shear of 1 hour. The Jews of Holland, which the Ramos says is the minhag. Then we have our Yekesh brethren, who say 3 hours. We point out from Reb Fivel Cohen that there's no real Jewish source of 3 hours. But we found a Jewish source of 3 hours. If you look in the Isser V'Heter Rabbeinu Yeruchim, this is Reb Fivel writes in the Badei HaShulchan, he doesn't know of a source of 3 hours. Then in the Miluim, in the back of the Badei HaShulchan, he says, Shuv Her'oni, that they showed me a source in the Rabbeinu Yeruchim. Rabbeinu Yeruchim basically says 3 hours on the second line. Because of Rav, we don't know who the Rav is he's referring to. It might be Rabbeinu Baruch, it might be someone else. And then Shabbosar ben Hashinayim Kari Bosar, Shabbosar den ben Shinayim, Vuhu Gimel Shaos Kirashi. The whole thing makes no sense. He's talking about Bosar ben Hashinayim and Rashi. Right? The whole thing doesn't make sense. Bosar ben Hashinayim is a Rambam, not Rashi. But he does say 3 hours. So that is the source in Judaism for 3 hours, Rabbeinu Yeruchim. But still, we don't understand where it comes from. So Rabbeinu Yeruchim says it. But what's the lumdus of the 3 hours? So there are many different practices, many different explanations of where Gimel Shalos comes from. Some say like this, that the din is to really wait, bein se'uda la se'uda. And some claim, the Darkei Tshuva has this, that in Germany, how many meals do they eat a day?
Five.
Who said that? Right, 5 meals a day. If you eat 5 meals a day, so you're going to end up having about 3 hours between meals. Okay, it's a little bit wild. Others say as follows. There's a chiddush of the Pri Chadosh that the Pesach Tshuva refers to but rejects. You see, whenever I talk about hours in Halacha, there's Shalos Shavuos and the Shalos Manios. Shalos Shavuos means a 60-minute hour, no? Shalos Manios means I divide the day up into 12 equal portions. The hours of Hamtana, the hours of waiting between meat and milk, are these Shalos Shavuos or Shalos Manios? So usually we assume that they are Shalos Shavuos, no? We assume it's 60-minute hours. But the Pre-Chadosh assumes that might be Shalos Zmanios. If it's Shalos Zmanios, so in some parts of the world, 6 hours Shalos Zmanios equals what we call 3 Shalos Shavuos. In Germany, I don't think it's correct. That's the problem.
Northernmost Germany, it could be.
It could, okay. And yet, we have to figure out if this is possible. I thought that this might be the pshat in the German practice. Right? The Darkei Tshuva says they eat 5 meals a day. I don't know if that's correct or not, but if it might be based on the Shalos Zmanios, and what they would say is like this, that really it's based on Shalos Zmanios, but the Shir of Hamtona has to always be the same amount of time, all times of year, so therefore we use the shortest time of the year all year long. Right? That might be the German practice. Now, Avi.
So where did the Dutch get 1 hour from?
The Ramos says 1 hour.
Like,
where it comes from? Either from the Zohar or it's just Stamos Ayachumra that they threw
why
in.
Then, as opposed to, like,
why them? I don't know.
Like the Ramos.
How come only the Dutch do this? I don't know. That requires further investigation. I don't know. Okay.
So if we don't have a minhag,
if you don't have a minhag, what should you do?
Right. So
we'll talk about it right now. Zuck the Shach. So what does the Ramah say? The Ramah has a minhag. The Ramah says that the minhag is 1 hour, but the proper minhag is 6 hours. No, the last line in the Ramah. Right, last line in this first Shulchan Aruch. So Yesh Medaktikin Lahamtin Sheish Shaos Arachilos Pasal Gvina V'chein Nachain La'asos. And this is proper, says the Shach, quoting the Maharshal. V'chein Kasim Maharshal Dekein Ra'ir La'asos Nakom Misha Yesh Bo. I always thought this was a typo. It should be Ruach HaTorah or Ruach Torah. Right, it says Reach Torah. Reach Torah would mean the smell of Torah. I can't imagine that's very good. I can't imagine the smell of Torah. I don't know, just thinking of, whatever, fine. There you have it. I can't imagine it's a very pleasant odor. Okay? It's probably a mistake, right? The Medrash says that when the Torah was given to Har Sinai, there was like a fragrance that spread to the entire world. No? The Torah does have a very pleasant smell. But somehow, maybe it's like people who learn Torah today in the year 2012 don't always have the most pleasant smell. But, okay, we'll leave it.
From the fact that we're talking about food, which is mainly regarding to like smell and taste, so like rafts.
could be. But the Maharshal is quoted by the Shach as saying that anyone who has the smell of Torah should wait 6 hours. Should wait 6 hours. Rabbi Schwab
used to teach the Smicha students here in Washington Heights. He used to teach the Smicha students embroiderers. And they would learn, he'd learn with them. And he'd say, leave the Shach and go home and tell your parents that you should wait 6 hours instead of 3 hours. You should change the Yekisha practice. So the people in town were not very happy with their rabbi. I'm not the only one. People in town were not very happy with the rabbi because the rabbi is saying to change the minhag and to wait 6 hours instead of 3 hours. Now, when it comes to waiting 6 hours, even there is some room for disagreement. Because if you look in the Rambam, right, that we began with, the Rambam's expression was kimoshe shos, no?
Some girsas.
Some girsas have...
That
so, some might not have, some have kishe shaos, but the Rambam says kimoshe shaos. So, what does that mean? So, some people have a practice that you wait into the sixth hour, which is 5 hours and 1 minute. And they say that that's based on the Rambam. The Pashto says that's not based on the Rambam, because the Rambam's kimoshe shaos might mean that you wait approximately 6 hours. So you have to remember, we are Zocha to live at a time that we have a great invention called a wristwatch. So I know 6 hours, right? I know when that is. The Rambam lived at a time before they had wristwatches. So how do I know how much time it is? Maybe I have to be nervous, like we spoke about before, with Dovr Shiyesh Lo Matirin. So the Rambam says, no, kimoshe shaos, about 6 hours. Hey, it's not an exact measurement, maybe that's what I mean. If that's the case, if it's about 6 hours, I could say 5.5 hours counts. But 5 hours, 1 minute, I don't think can count. The Mi'iri has a line that it's 5 hours, kimo chamesh oshe shaos. That's what the Mi'iri writes. The Mi'iri in Daf Kofhei says this, and the Mi'iri says in his Tshuvas. If you look in the Tshuvas of Rev Nachum Rabinowitz, Rav Nachum Rabinowitz's tshuva is the Siach Nachum. So he writes like this. You see, where does 6 hours come from? So the Bi'ur HaGemara writes that 6 hours comes from a Gemara in Shabbos that says Se'udas Talmidei Chachamim is Sheishos B'yayim. Talmid Chacham's meal is in the sixth hour. And apparently after davening they would have Dinei Torah, right? And after the Dinei Torah they'd eat. And around the sixth hour they would have... It's in the sixth hour, and that's when they'd have lunch. And then they have dinner, apparently, at nightfall. No? So that means I have 6 hours between the meals. But if that's the case, of Rav Nachum Rabinowitz, it's not a full 6 hours. Because the meal itself, he proves from other makoros, the meal itself would take time. And the meal, he says, would take about an hour. So therefore, if the meal's taking about an hour, so that gives you 5 hours and 1 minute. That's Rav Nachum Rabinowitz's cheshbon in his tshuvas. He also says, interestingly, with respect to ketanim, he has an interesting part with respect to ketanim. We mentioned that giving ketanim basar b'cholov. So he said it's not a problem because we can say the ikar hadin. On this issue, Rav Nachum Rabinowitz wants to be a little bit machmir in his tshuvas. See, the psikta writes, and it's quoted in Taisus and Chumash on last week's parasha, Vayikachem b'cholov. Right, Avraham Avinu took and the animal, and he gives it to the malachim, and they ate it. So aren't they eating basar b'cholov? That's the kasha, no? And for malachim, it's mamish basar b'cholov, because malachim are called shvivei esh, no? Malachim are fire creatures. So when they are, right, so they're mamish cooking the milk and meat together. It's a terrible thing. They cook it together, and they're eating a halal, right? So the medrash quoted in the Psikta that Tosfos quotes on Chumash part of it, the Medrash says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was about to give the Torah, so the Malachim say, give us the Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Malachim, you don't deserve it, because you ate basar v'chalav. And even a tinok doesn't eat basar and chalav together. That's the lashon of the Psikta. Based on this Psikta, Rav Nachum Rabinowitz, he's very chashuv, he's the Rosh Tzvi, right? You know Rav Nachum Rabinowitz? Your Rosh Hashiva?
Yeah.
Right? So, Rav Nachum Rabinowitz in his tshuvas, he has this in two different tshuvas. He has this in the Melumdei Melchama, page 243-244, and he also has it in the Siach Nachum. I forgot what the source is. I think in Siman Samach Vav, but I'm not sure anymore. Simon Memvav. So he says that even Ketanim have to wait based on this source in the Medrash. Again, he always has like a different Maramakam that no one else thought of. It's really good. It's nice. It's cute. Okay. So we have 6 hours, the different practices of 6 hours based on the Rambam, based on the Me'iri. The Pashtus is that you should wait a full 6 hours. Even though the Rambam says Kemoshe Shalos, when Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch says She Shalos. The Pashtus says you should really wait a full 6 hours. However, if there is extenuating circumstances, you're not well, or if Nachum Rabinowitz in that tshuva talks about soldiers. Apparently, who would guess that the Israeli army sometimes serves milchik meals after a fleishik meal, and they don't wait 6 hours between them?
Yeshiva,
that's
a big question.
What?
The army doesn't serve milchik meals.
Doesn't serve
milchik meals.
Apparently, Rav Nachum Rabinowitz has a tshuva. He heard from some guys in yeshiva that they didn't want to eat because it's milchiks after fleishiks and they weren't milchik yet. So Rav Nachum gets all upset. He says, you're a soldier and soldiers have to eat big meals. You have to be strong to be able to fight and like kill the terrorists. That's like the first part of the tshuva. He raised it this way. It's like, right? He speaks that way also, no?
Yeah.
Right? So you're mechuyev to eat to be strong to kill the terrorists. And then he says, and by the way, me'ikar hadin, either 1 hour, me'ikar hadin, even silik ubirich helps, and sit, and if you could be mekel for a chol, you can be mekel for a soldier also, so you should be able to fight properly. There is a discussion in the Chassam Sefer, yeah.
When my cousin came to visit me in KBY, there was discussion in KBY that between the lunch meal and the dinner meal, it wasn't 6 hours. Like you would have to end like lunch a bit early. Ruitzin said because it was set time, then there wasn't an issue. And my cousin said they.
So I don't understand that.
Yeah, we had the same thing.
Yeah, we did.
So I don't understand that because it's a set time.
Five in the Gemara.
I mean, the Gemara says Su'udah la Su'udah. What the Gemara probably means is that there's a set amount of time based on what the Su'udah of a Talmud Chacham is. That's what the Gemara writes.
Well, the
again,
Yeshiva, which probably counts as Su'udah Talmud Chacham. I have to assume that's what you like 400 guys.
But Su'udah Talmud Chacham is the way the Gemara says it used to be. Again, it could be that's based on the Rambam of Kemoshe Shal, so based on the Me'iri. But this idea, just because it's a set time, that's why I don't hear. Okay, so let's just talk about one other thing. It says in the Sefer Zichron Moshe, which is a biography of the Chassam Sefer. Now, the Chassam Sefer used to like to drink coffee. Okay? That's what it says in the biography. He liked coffee. And the Chassam Sefer he didn't sleep very much at night. So he used to eat at night, he'd be fleishik, and he'd go to sleep. And he wanted to wake up in the morning and have a cup of coffee to help him learn. So Chassam Sofer had a cheshbon, and since when you sleep, he says the digestion process is speeded up. So memela, since when I sleep, the process of digestion is speeded up. So therefore, he felt that you could have the coffee right when you wake up in the morning, even though it's within 6 hours, 5 hours, 3 hours, whatever it is he usually waited, he would have coffee because sleeping sped up the digestion process. And the Chassam Sefer was about to enact this and try this. And Kimtzagain, right, what emerges, he wakes up, he's making himself a cup of coffee, and the coffee spilled. And he says, it's a simen min hashamayim not to do this. This is quoted by Rav Moshe Sternbach, Chubas v'Hanhagos, Chelek Aleph, Simen Tuf Lamed Aleph. Right? So Rav Moshe Sternbach is quoting from the Chassam Sefer that he felt that there's a divine sign that I shouldn't have my coffee right after my fleishiks, even with a nap in between. And Rav Moshe Sternbach then deals with it. He says, one second, do we take divine signs like this? We have a general principle in halacha of lo b'shamayim hi. Right, the halacha is given to humans, and we deal with halacha like the way we see stuff. We don't take divine signs, right? Tanur shalachnai, it's a gemara b'ofa metzia that we're learning, right? Tanur shalachnai, so then we assume that no, we don't follow divine signs. Why is the Chassam Sefer taking a divine sign? So Rav Moshe Sternbach writes in that tshuva, it's a pella, mamish makes no sense to me. He writes that maybe Loba Shamayim is for ordinary Jews, but for Yidden who are Kedoshe Elyon, so you're allowed to take divine signs. And he tells the story about how the Vilna Gaon wanted to enact Duchening every day.
Right.
And then the shul burnt down, so they said not to. And the Gra and the Yisod V'Sharish HaAvulga wanted to be buried in their talus. Usually what we do is when we're about to bury a mace, we cut off the corner. We cut off the tzitzis, the pasul talus. And the Gemara says the talus should be kosher. So when they went to bury the Yisod V'Sharish HaAvulga, so he told them to tell me not to pasul the talus. The Talmud walked out of the room and the Chavik Kaddish should pasul the talus. They said it's a simim in HaShemayim not to do this. But what do you mean? Lo b'shamayim hi. We don't take simanim in hashamayim. So he wants to say that for kedoshi elyon, you can't take. You're allowed to take simanim in hashamayim. But it's very difficult. The story of Tanu Shalachnai l'chora, we're dealing with Rabbi Eliezer. He's also a kedosh elyon, and we still say lo b'shamayim hi. There's a tshuva in the Malamed Lahoel. Reb David Zvi Hoffman's tshuvas. Reb David Zvi Hoffman has a case like this. Reb Avrum Bing. Reb Avrum Bing was a Talmud of the Chassam Sefer, and he was the Rebbe of the first real Talmud Chacham in America, Rabbi Abraham Reis, who was the Rav Sherith Israel in Baltimore, right? Which is the sister shul of Breuer's, or it used to be. Sherith Israel is no longer Yekesh Shul, but Rabbi Abraham Reis was the founding rabbi, of Sherith Israel in Baltimore. So Rabbi Reis was a big Talmud Chacham. His Rebbe, Rabbi Avrum Bing, was a big Talmud Chacham. Also, Rabbi Avrum Bing had two sons who married two sisters. No? And it says in the Tzavot of Yehuda HaChosid that you shouldn't have two brothers marry two sisters. That's, but Rabbi Avrum Bing, had his two sons marry two sisters. On the way back from his second son's wedding, so he fell off of the wagon. And he said, "Das is a patch fun Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid." It's like Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid is giving him a patch in the face. So the Malam Mahoel interprets the story, I think, in a 100% correct manner. What Reb Avrum Bing was saying is, Lamaisa, I felt not to hold like Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid. Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid gave me a patch for not passing like him, that's true, but that doesn't change the halacha. He didn't go and say, "Oh, I was wrong in allowing my two sons to marry two sisters." No, the halacha remains the halacha. Lo b'shamayim, we don't take divine signs based on these things that happen. There's a few cases like this. When we take divine signs, when we don't take divine signs, it's very, very troubling to this whole Chassam Sofer story that he felt the fact that coffee spilled, this is a divine sign that he was wrong. That's very, very troubling. Okay. But there's a bigger problem with this Chassam Sofer story. The problem is that it doesn't seem to fit in to the rules of Hamtana the way we have it. The Rus of Hamtana point to Rashi is because the Basar is Moshech Tam. According to the Rambam, it's because of Basar Ben Hashinayim. Right? No one among those Rishonim is saying that by sleeping it speeds it up. Right? The Moshech Tam, I've had this experience, you probably also had. You eat a salami sandwich and you wake up and it's still with you. No? It can happen. Right? And the Basar Ben Hashinayim, because I slept, doesn't mean that the meat leaves my mouth. So it's very difficult, based on the Rashi and the Rambam that we began with, to understand the Chassam Sofer story. And Lamaisa, that's a point that Rabbi Forst makes in his book on page 201. Lamaisa, it's very, very, very difficult to rely on this story. And the Pashto says, even if you take a nap, you still have to wait the amount of time. Again, even the Chassam Sofer didn't rely on Lamaisa. So these are some of the issues that we wanted to discuss in terms of Basar B'Chalav. Guys should have a good Shabbos. Now, anyone who has Sunday, I'd like to learn Gemara, will also go through some questions. So Shalom already presented a few questions to me. If guys email me, if you have any Hashgafa questions that you'd like to spend some of the time of Shir discussing on Sunday, we could do that. And just have a good Shabbos. Thank you for coming. Shir Sunday is 11.